Today our scripture is Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10. Today on the second Sunday in Advent, we read again from the prophet Isaiah as he shares the great vision of the peaceable kingdom. In a time of great distress, he envisioned a day when not only people, but all creatures of the earth would live together in peace. This vision has inspired Christian communities for centuries to work for and live for peace. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his bell, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion, and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. And from Matthew 3, verses 1 to 12. In our gospel reading, we encounter the wild man, John the Baptist, living in the wilderness by the River Jordan. He is preaching revolution, but it is a God-driven revolution. The people suffer under the great oppression of the Roman Empire and long for change. John believes that a change is coming, but that there is little they can do to bring it on. So he calls people to prepare themselves for God to sweep in. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abram as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abram. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions that we take in this world be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want you to see something. And I want you to hear something. Because as I was reading through the readings, I got to tell you that my week took a bit of a shift on Thursday. My week, not just personally, but as I was thinking about what we ought to be about today, took a big shift on Thursday. And when I realized what was going to be happening in South Africa on this day, I thought, for years and years and years, we in Canada tried our best to join them in the struggle. Sometimes we did a good job of that. Sometimes we were forgetful. But this morning, I want to join them. So I want you to hear something. It's a clip from Nelson Mandela's address to the people after he was released from his 27 years in prison.
Domination. And I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony. And with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for. and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die.
We light the candle of peace. We hear the great vision of peace in the scriptures. The prophet John. I can't help but hear resonances between these people. The vision of a world of peace and a great maker of peace has come near. We mourn his death, we stand with his people in their grief, and we celebrate a truly radiant life which shone with the light of peace. It's one thing to hold a vision of peace in your heart and in your mind, it's another thing altogether to have a conviction about it and how it will come about. Different places at different times, people have held that vision and tried to embody it differently at different times. Even during Jesus' time, there were the zealots, those guerrilla fighters in the mountains who would come down and take a swipe at the Romans and then flee back into the mountains, hoping that that would bring about the great vision of change that they longed for. There were the Essenes, those ones who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, who lived in a cloistered community down by the Dead Sea, trying to embody peace somehow as if that would then somehow just infiltrate the rest of society, but it didn't. There was John the Baptist, who went down to the Jordan, to the desert land around the Jordan. And John the Baptist had a particular idea. He had watched all of these others try and bring about peace, and it hadn't worked, and the oppression was so hard on the people. And so he said, I'm going to go into the desert and I'm going to invite people out to radicalize them, to make them radicals, but not to say go after the Romans with armed struggle. Just instead, we are not going to be able to do this. It's going to be God. And God's going to sweep in from the outside, an apocalyptic vision of fire that comes from the outside and sweeps the threshing floor clean. Sweeps the chaff away, and we will be left. So come and baptize yourself, that you might be one of the remnant that's left, the wheat that's left over after the great sweeping. Jesus had a different vision than that. Same vision of the coming of peace, but a different way that it might happen. Unlike John, who said that God would do it all from the outside and that there's very little we can do, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. That vision is in you. He showed them what it was like for a rich person and a poor person to share at table together, to drink from the same cup, to eat from the same loaf. Imagine that. There it is, right in front of you, the peaceable kingdom. The vision come to reality as we bring it to reality in our lives. That vision became real, spiritual, physical community. And he believed that God would achieve that great vision, but he said that God would do it within and through us. He showed us that it's a matter of the heart and a matter of real social, economic, and political justice. Where your treasure is, there also is your heart. Whenever you do this for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it for me. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. I could go on and on and on. The ways in which he expressed how that great vision would come to be in human community. The gospel vision of peace is a participatory one. It is God's peace sparked, inspired, kindled to flame within and between us, beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, as Isaiah puts it in another place. Does any of this resonate with the words you've heard in the last few days and the memories you have? We lost a great and rare spirit this week. We lost someone who embodied some of the greatest elements of the human spirit. His life is a living witness to the power of God to transform, the power of hope to sustain, the power of love to overcome, the power of God to bring about the peace that we long for in our hearts. His life bears witness to the truth of Jesus' vision of how God's peace happens in the world. It doesn't happen by people waiting around for God to sweep in from the outside. It does not happen without us. Just as the end of apartheid could not have happened without the amazing convergence of vision and purpose and commitment from all over the globe, sparked by Mandela and others who gave their lives for this vision, the ideals, as he put it, for which I hope to live and for which I am willing to die. It happens. This vision comes alive. It happens when we come to realize that our lives matter, that we are here for a reason and a purpose. We as individuals, we as a community, a holy purpose. That God has matched us up with this time, this moment, and that the peace of God, the shalom, which is love and justice and mercy and forgiveness and hope and peace all rolled into one, that kind of peace is in our hands. So friends, look into those eyes. These are the eyes of one who has walked a long and arduous and joyous walk to freedom, along the sometimes grueling path of peace. These are the eyes of one who, like Jesus, knew that some things are so important and we want to live for them so badly and we are willing to die for them. These are the eyes of one who, like Jesus, knew that peace is something we can't always command, but that we can't just wait for either. These are the eyes of one who, like Jesus, calls each of us to believe in the vision of a different world, of a more just and more peaceful one. These are the eyes of one who, like Jesus, calls you to find a way to participate in the advent of that great and divine turning of the world. I'm going to give him the last word. Death is something inevitable. When a man has done what he considers to be his duty to his people and his country, he can rest in peace. I believe I have made that effort, and that is, therefore, why I will sleep for the eternity. What counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived. It is the difference we have made in the lives of others that will determine the significance of the life we lead. Amen.